Grace and Advent peace be multiplied unto all of you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Savior. Amen. This morning we consider the prophet Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. This is the word of God. In Christ our Savior, to whose coming we again look forward this Advent season, dear friends in Christ, how many of you are fans of Charles Dickens? Okay, two hands. I'm not really either. But there's one work of his that I'm willing to guess you're all familiar with, and that's the story, A Christmas Carol. Each year at this season, at least three or four different versions of that story come out on cable and streaming. In it, you recall, a man named Ebenezer Scrooge is transformed at Christmas time from a penny-pinching miser into a generous lover of mankind. And many would describe that transformation as a miracle. In fact, that's exactly the kind of miracle that most people expect at Christmas time. Sort of warming of cold hearts, a vague sense of peace, some kind of brotherly love. And you and I get pulled along with that kind of idea too, don't we? We expect little miracles. We look forward to a certain Christmas spirit, a sort of pervasive cheer and a softening of attitudes. But is that what Christmas is all about? Isn't that expecting too little? There are much greater miracles to be had at Christmas time. And this morning we turn our attention to one of them, a truly miraculous event, the virgin birth of our Savior as foretold by the prophet Isaiah. He leads you and me and every Christian to expect great things from Christmas. Sometimes I think that as Christians, the term virgin birth rolls off our tongues a little too glibly. We stand up in church every Sunday and say, I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost and born of the Virgin Mary. And sometimes we don't pay too much attention to what we're saying. But stop and ponder that statement for a moment. What an absolutely astonishing miracle. For once in the history of all humankind, a child would be conceived completely without a human father being involved in any way. That's the sign, the miracle that the Lord was predicting through Isaiah. It had never happened before, and it has never happened since. We use the word incredible a lot, but seldom correctly, I think. We use it really as if it were merely a synonym for surprising. That was an incredible jump shot. I had an incredible day today. But that's not what it means. Incredible literally means not able to be believed. And in that sense, the virgin birth truly was an incredible miracle. It was something people simply wouldn't be able to believe. Mary must have known that. The angel Gabriel came to bring her the news, and it filled her with joy. But there must have been some second thoughts as well. Because who would continue to believe that she was a virgin as the months passed and the evidence of her pregnancy grew and grew? Would you have believed it? And what about Mary's promised husband? After all, they hadn't begun to live together yet. What would Joseph think when Mary showed up on his doorstep, obviously expecting a child? I'm afraid for Joseph, too, that would have been a miracle that was literally unbelievable. So the Lord sent Gabriel to him as well. Joseph, son of David, he said, do not fear to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit, and she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. And then the angel quoted Isaiah's prophecy that I read to you a moment ago. Remember, Joseph, Remember what Isaiah said about a virgin bearing the Savior? Well, Mary is that virgin, and her son Jesus is that Savior. It was an incredible miracle, literally incredible, as if I were to say something to you like Rice Lake lies to the south of Eau Claire, or tomorrow is Saturday. It was incredible, but this miracle was true. Mary believed it, Joseph believed it, Isaiah believed it, you and I believe it as well. But you know, the biggest miracle of all comes right at the end of Isaiah's prophecy. Did you catch it? You shall call his name Emmanuel. Emmanuel, of course, meaning God with us. Now there's a miracle for you. How awe-inspiring is it that God should come to earth and become a human being? That the creator of the universe should consent to live here on earth with us sinful mortals. Novelist Dorothy L. Sayers once said, "The dogma of the incarnation is the most dramatic thing about Christianity, and indeed, the most dramatic thing that ever entered the mind of man. But if you tell people so, they stare at you in bewilderment." One thing even more amazing than the incarnation was that this child would grow up to sacrifice his innocent life to save wretched sinners like you and me. That's truly hard to believe. Think about sacrifice. Think about the people you would be willing to make sacrifices for. Who comes to mind? Usually it's our friends and our family members, people that we already know and love dearly. Some of them, you might even be willing to go as far as to give up your life in order to help. That kind of love is a love that makes perfect sense to us. What makes no sense at all, what is entirely beyond our experience and comprehension, is the love of Christ. For Jesus loved people who didn't love him, who were in fact by nature his sworn enemies. He loved you and me, notwithstanding the lost, wretched sinners that we were. Paul says, "When we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commends his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Because of our sins, God was against us. But now, because of Christ, God is with us. He is Emmanuel. Through Christ, God is no longer our stern judge. Now, he's our loving Father, who wants nothing else but to benefit us spiritually and physically, to provide for all our needs, to grant us free forgiveness for Jesus' sake. And as Paul said, if God is for us, who can be against us? The answer to that one, of course, is also obvious. Nothing and no one can oppose God. And so with Jesus, our Emmanuel, by our side, we have nothing left to fear in this life or the next. And that's the real miracle of Christmas. As you know, in Dickens' Christmas Carol, the story ends when the miserly old Scrooge is transformed and ends up giving generous gifts to his clerk Bob Cratchit and his family. Do you think that's the miracle of Christmas? Do you think that's love? Don't expect too little. God wants you to expect great things from Christmas. 1 John 4, verse 9. In this the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. In this is love. Amen. We conclude this morning with stanzas 1 and 4 of hymn 76. Hymn 76, 1 and 4.